Be still and know that I am God. It's a familiar passage of scripture that comes from Psalm 46, verse 10. In fact, in my office, there's a picture of deer in a woods covered with snow. At the bottom of the picture is, be still and know. We oftentimes quote that passage of scripture. Is that something we live by? And what is the context of what is being said there? And how does that impact our lives today? Hello, my name is Paul Hines. I pastor Mumfordville Baptist Church, and each week I prepare a devotion from God's Word, and this week we're in Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Our church is reading through the Psalms, five Psalms a week, and working our way through them, allowing God to speak to us through this very powerful, very precious book in the Bible that gives us an opportunity to worship God by reading this, pray to Him through reading this, and find Him speaking to us about ourselves and about who He is. Verse 1 of Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Maybe that is something that you have heard said, maybe even you've heard someone say that in a prayer, that God is our very present help in times of need. That comes from this psalm. He is our refuge, the place that we run when life is crashing down upon us. He is our strength, what provides for us what we can continue to move on in challenging times, a very present help in trouble, meaning He is there with us in the challenges and the difficulties. He is standing with us in what we face. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble in its swelling. Though we find that the earth itself seems to be falling apart, though everything is chaotic, the world around us is shaking, God is in control. Though the seas are raging and the mountains are shaking, God is still on His throne. Our heart will not melt away because we're trusting in the One who is our refuge and our strength. Verse 4 is a beautiful picture of God providing strength and nourishment through the picture of the river. In verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. In Scripture, oftentimes the water of the sea is seen as something that is unpredictable, uncontrollable, and often dangerous. Yet that of a river and streams are seen as something that provides life, something that provides nourishment, something that is predictable and necessary. And here he says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, a river flowing, the river of life, as is referred to in Scripture. We find that in the Garden of Eden, there was the river flowing, and then there was the removal of the people of God from the holy Garden of Eden because of sin. Yet Jesus says in John 7:38 that He is the living water. He is the stream of flowing water to provide for us what we so desperately need. What we've been separated from because of sin can be made available again through Jesus Christ and what He made available in His death, burial, and resurrection. So there's a city whose streams make glad, make joyous, bring about the joy that is needed by this river that is flowing into the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. The end of that verse reminds us that though other things are big and grand, and our problems are oftentimes enormous and bigger than we are, this verse reminds us that God is the Most High. Think of the highest elevation you've ever been at, the highest thing that you can see. God is higher still. He is the Most High, which gives Him a position of being able to see all that is happening, but also being over and in control of all that is happening. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will hear and help when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord. Now he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. God is the source of peace. There is great devastation that happens by nations, by kingdoms who seek to rise and bring about their own greatness and the greatness of those who are a part of them. But none of them are greater than God, and none of their agendas are greater than His. His is supreme. God will work out His plan above all others. He can bring about desolation to those who think that they are invincible, those who think that they're going to win war and continue to fight. He can bring all of it to an end. In fact, we're told in Revelation there will come a day when there will be no more war. God will bring an end to all the fighting and the destruction, and the source of them is sin, and God will bring all of that to an end. In the midst of him talking about there being war and nations fighting, trying to find their supremacy and trying to advance their cause, that is happening in our own lives, among individuals and brothers and sisters in Christ. In the church itself, there is fighting and squabbling and seeking to make their own agenda supreme. And what does God say? In verse 10 of Psalm 46, he says, "Be still." Some translations translate it like this, "Stop fighting." In essence, what he's saying is quit squirming, quit trying to manipulate, quit trying to make your agenda known. Stop fighting. Stop trying to advance your cause. Stop trying to bring your will and agenda over and above all other things. The world around you is chaotic and difficult, and you will not bring about some kind of control and peace through fighting. Instead, he says, be still. Stop. Just stop it and know that I'm God. Quit trying to make yourself or your agenda supreme and trust that I am God. Because he says, I will be exalted among the nations. Regardless of whether you're going to or not, others, if you don't, will exalt him, will lift him up as the God of all the universe. The Lord of hosts is with us, he says in verse 11. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is upon whom which we stand, and he is the one who has total and complete control. And so we often quote that verse 10 as one to remind us just to stop and in the quietness trust in the God of the universe. But it's also a reminder of us that all of our fighting, all of our schemes and agendas will not accomplish God's divine plan. We must stop and trust him to work in and through us. The great reformer Martin Luther loved this psalm. Psalm 46 was dear to his heart. In fact, from Psalm 46, Martin Luther wrote the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." It begins like this: "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of moral ills prevail. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal." Verse 4, "The word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit of the gifts are ours, though. Him who with us still let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever? Do you trust that God and His kingdom are forever? Are you still and knowing that He is God? If there's any way I or Mumfordville Baptist Church can help you in trusting in this God of the universe, reach out to us. You can find information about us on our website at mumfordvillebaptist.org. I hope you have a great week. God bless.